Okay, good evening. Thank you. Thank you very much. Welcome. I think it's the first snow this year, right? It's our first snow in New York, but I want to tell you something. It's fake snow. I mean, it was just for like two hours. So many people asked me, is there a shiur? Should we come? Manhattan will be full of snow. So at the end of the day, we're here, Baruch Hashem, but you can still watch us live. Thank you, Uri Westreich, for the live broadcasting. Everything works. Facebook, YouTube, you can watch us there. And shalom to the El Al passengers who also watch us there. The Galei Israel listeners, the radio station in Israel, and the people here. We have a guest here from Montreal. Thank you, Mrs. Friedman, for coming all the way from Montreal to Manhattan. And really, this week's Torah portion is... Hey, wait a minute. I forgot to thank, of course, all the people here at YU working so hard behind the scenes of the shiur, Stephanie Strauss, Michal Hess, and the World Mizrahi Movement, Karen Danieli, of course, who sponsors the live broadcast to the whole world, and the translator, Yoshua Siskin. I think what we see this week is maybe the beginning of our journey. I mean, we read about Abraham, and we all remember how revolutionary was his, I would say, his path. He started everything, Lech Lecha, he left Haran, he came towards Israel. He was a radical revolutionary leader. Then last week we spoke a lot about Yitzchak's attitude toward the land of Israel, toward life. I mean, he was a passive, more, I would say, with more boundaries and fences and limitations. He didn't go out from Eretz Israel. He did exactly the same thing. We had this sense of deja vu, of like copy-paste. He did the same thing, and that was his revolution, not doing a new revolution. That was what he, that's a gift he gave us. But now we have the third generation of this Jewish first family, and what Yaakov is doing is basically going back to Haran, the place his grandfather came from, but living there as a proud Jew. The first Jew who leaves Eretz Israel to live in the diaspora, in the Gola, the first Jew who leaves the hot, cozy, nice tent of Yitzchak and Rivka and goes out there to this foreign, hostile environment, surrounded, you know, all the challenges he will face. That's basically our story. So many commentators tells us, when you read this parasha, parashat Vayetzeh, it's not Yaakov's Yetziah, it's your Yetziah to the world. The name of the parasha, Vayetzeh, however we will say it, we'll pronounce it, means to latzet. I remember some American guy came to Israel, and it was the first time he saw the sign Yetziah. Like here we have exit, you know, on the door. So in Israel, we write Yetziah, and he said, oh, it's like Vayetzeh. He connected the Tanakh and the sign he saw on the door in Israel, Yetziah. So yeah, Yaakov is making this Yetziah. He goes out from the secure environment to the world out there. And when we look at his journey, we ask ourselves, I think it's like a guide to us. How do you go out into the world? Ech yotzim la'olam? That's the question we will ask today. And we will use all the tools Yaakov gives us in this parasha. And we will especially quote the Tnuat HaMusar commentators, the Musar movement, I would say, philosophy toward the Yaakov. And how do you stay active, proud, connected, devoted Jew when you're in, you know, exile, when you're in the Galut? I think it really can be really relevant to all of us. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva vayalech Harana. The world is not only Be'er Sheva. Be'er Sheva is named after the Shavu'ah, the way they had this covenant, that they swore there, Be'er Sheva. It's a holy place in Eretz Israel. It's a big city until today in the south. But we're not always in Be'er Sheva. Sometimes we have to go out to Haran. When you look at the Jewish history, most of the time we're in Haran, Charono shel Makom, the anger, place of really, as I said, a hostile, foreign place. Most of the time we're in Haran and not in Be'er Sheva. But this Yetziah of Yaakov, this journey, Ha'or HaChaim HaKadosh, Rabbi Chaim ben Atar says, Vayetze Yaakov hi hanefesh betzeta me'olam ha'elyon. It symbolizes the departure of the soul from the higher world. We are all sent to this world. This is the Yetziah. This is our journey here in this world. And that's what Yaakov once again teaches us. Yaakov, his other name is Israel. We're all named. Nobody calls us the state of Abraham, the state of Yitzchak, the state of Israel, Medinat Israel, were named after him. The modern state, the land, the nation, it's our name up until today. So let's see, how do you go outside, you know, to the big outside world, and how do you also return home safely? So, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava, Vayelech Harana. What can we learn, you know, when we look at his journey? The first thing, we will learn 8 lessons, okay? Part of them you already know by heart, you know, from kindergarten. Some of them will be new. So, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava, Vayelech Harana. You are important. You should know that. Otherwise, you'll be completely deleted when you'll go out. I mean, whenever you are, it's meaningful. When Yaakov leaves Be'er Sheva, Rashi says, why does it say, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva vayelech Harana? The basic thing, the way to describe it is to say, Yaakov went to Haran. Why? Vayetze Yaakov vayelech Harana. What's so special here? When I left 5 towns where we live 2 hours ago, and when I was driving here, I didn't say Vatetze Sivan mi 5 towns Vatelech Manhattana. No, I came from 5 towns. I mean, what's so special about this Yetziah? And that's Rashi's beautiful definition: Yetziat Tzadik min Hamakom Osa Roshem. That's a beautiful Hebrew. Now, the departure of a righteous man, of a tzaddik, from a place makes an impression. It makes a difference. Okay, Be'er Sheva with Yaakov and Be'er Sheva without Yaakov, it's a different Be'er Sheva. And Haran with Yaakov and Haran without Yaakov, it's a different, completely different Haran. Okay, Yetziat Tzadik Osa Roshem. It creates something new in this world. And he explains, Rashi, Shebizman she'atzadik ba'ir, while the tzaddik is in the city, while the righteous person is there in the place, okay, Hu hoda. Who ziva, who hadara. Do not be embarrassed. It's really, the level of this ivrit is really high. Don't go in Machne Yehuda market and say ziva, hoda, hadara. Don't go anywhere in Israel and say this. It's a beautiful poetry. It's a beautiful Hebrew. It means when he's there, when he's in the city, he is its beauty, he is its splendor, he is its majesty. But when he leaves, these whole 3 things are not there anymore. No hoda, no ziva, no hadara. Every person is unique. Every person is important. Every person makes an impression. There is a significance, you know, to the presence of an individual in every place. This philosophy is very important. Last century, 2 movements, I would say, the communist movement, the Nazi movement, deleted the importance of the human being, of the individual, okay? It was a process of dehumanization, you know, of people. Okay, we don't see people; we see millions, masses of people. Nowadays, I think it's less dangerous. Baruch Hashem, the world is in a way healthier, okay, more mature. But when we look, okay, closely at what goes on in the new media world, in the social media, once again, sometimes I feel we treat people as numbers. You know, I count likes; I don't count people. I have 1,000 likes. Maybe even more. Okay, I don't think there's a soul behind every like there. I see once again masses. How many people saw your movie, watched it, liked it? Okay, how much did you get? So the first verse of this parasha explains, okay, how important it is to treat yourself with, you know, self-esteem, respect, dignity. Yeah, you're someone. Whatever you do, wherever you are, it is important. When you look at, sometimes it's enough just to be there in order to influence other people. I mean, I saw this example a few weeks ago. I was in London. This is the house of Rabbi Lord Professor Sachs, Rabbi Jonathan Sachs. He hosted that in his house. That's Rabbi Andrew Shaw in the middle, the head of Mizrahi UK, Mizrahi movement in Britain, and that's me. And we were talking there together. And while we were speaking, it was before Rosh Hashanah, it was a conversation. At least 2 of the speakers were great. I really loved listening to them. But while we were speaking, I suddenly realized the 3 of us are Baalei Tshuva. The 3 of us, we didn't grow up as observant Jews. And I asked them suddenly, I know how I became religious. I saw people who were osim roshem, who made an impression. They didn't do anything in order to force me to do something. They were just there, and they were impressive, and it makes a difference. And Rabbi Sachs said that he met the Lubavitcher Rebbe. It was enough. I mean, he saw someone impressive. It changed his life. He was a young student. And Rabbi Shaw also said, I was a young kid, a Masorti house. I wasn't a T. Today he's a Rav. I was in a Bnei Akiva camp for the first time in my life. I saw the Madrichim, the leaders of the Tnuah. They were impressive teenagers. It was the first time I saw proud Jews, like proud, active, religious, Zionist Madrichim. I wanted to be like them. I loved them, what they did, all the activities. The Shabbat I spent there at the Machaneh, the camp, it changed my life. So here are three examples of people who are sitting here as Orthodox Jews today because Tzadik Oseh Roshem. And Tzadik, it's not only Yaakov Avinu, it could be normal people you see, and it changes your life. Okay, so the first thing, I think that's the first rule, but okay, you go out there to the world. What should you do in order to make an impression, to be someone who is so built, so really, really well behaves? The answer is what you should do is just close your eyes. Close your eyes and dream. Before it becomes practical, before it becomes tachles, it should be, you should have a vision, you should have a chazon in Hebrew, chalom, you should have a dream. And the second thing Yaakov does, you can give it the title, I Have a Dream. Okay? Think about it. The most influential speech ever, I think, in our history is I Have a Dream by Martin Luther King. Yaakov, the minute he leaves the tent, first of all, he dreams. He goes to sleep and he imagines, he sees this meaningful vision of Sulam Yaakov, Yaakov's letter. Think about it. He goes to sleep and he says, Vayachalom, and he dreamed. Now, what's the dream? We all know it by heart, as I said, kindergarten, the angels who go up and down. Here's the full text. It's a long description of the dream. Vehine sulam mutzav arza v'rosho magia hashamayma. Thousands of books, commentators wrote a lot about this dream. We will not elaborate. I just think there are two important points for those who go out there. And when I talk about people who go out there, it could be me as a journalist in the media in Israel. It could be you, the students of YU sitting here, leaving your house for the first time, coming to the middle of Manhattan. It could be those who graduate and go out there to work. It could be students in other campuses, less Jewish than YU, and that's all of the campuses in America, basically. It could be someone who leaves the yeshiva in Israel, goes to the army, goes to Shirut Lumi, leaves the house and go to yeshiva. Anyone who's making this change and leaving the natural, you know, place, the more comfortable place, should have a vision of what's the purpose of all this? Why am I doing it? What's the reason? What's the siba? So the first thing Yaakov does when he's dreaming, it's something the Lubavitcher Rebbe mentions, v'yachalom, he puts all the stones around his head. V'yasem merashotav. It's the first thing he covers. It's the first thing he protects. It's the head. There's the famous midrash, all the avanim, all the stones were fighting with each other, were screaming, Allah yaniach ha-tzadik et rosho. The tzaddik will put his head on me. This stone shouts, and the other stone wants, no, he will sleep. His head will be here on me, and the other stone, and then all the stones. At the end, Hashem makes them all into one stone, one united stone, and he puts his head on them. When I was reading it this week, I was thinking about the elections in Israel. This party screams, I will form the coalition. This party says, no, I will do it. At the end, Bezrat Hashem, there will be a unity government, Bezrat Hashem. But maybe it's not so simple as in the Midrash. But what Yaakov does, Vayasem Ha'even Merashotav, he protects the head. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, whenever you go out there, take care. I mean, the head should be protected. Work, your whole body can work when it comes to Parnasa, when it comes to things you do out there in the external world. But protect your head. Don't forget that the Hashkafa, the ideology, the perception, what you have here, that's the most important thing you should protect whenever you go out there. And of course, the Sulam, the letter, describes the ups and downs, the obstacles we will all face. Thousands of years of climbing this ladder, this sulam, up and down. Each person that is sitting here, each person that listens to us, can just look at the history of his or her family and see this sulam, this letter. Malachei Elokim olim veyordim. There are so many challenges we faced and we're still facing. The main purpose is the end of this dream. This dream wasn't fulfilled yet. We're still working on it. I mean, we do have this essential promise that at the end of the day, okay, at the end of this sulam, v'ineh Hashem nitzav alav v'yomar, Hashem promises him, I will give you this land, ufaratzta, yama v'kedma, tzafona, v'negba, you should go west, east, north, south, v'nivrechu b'chachol, kol mishpechot ha'adama, okay, all the families of the earth will be blessed by you in your name. And I will be with you, and I will restore you to this land, for I will not forsake you until I have done what I have spoken concerning you. We have this promise in our pocket, because our forefather, he was dreaming, you know. And I think that it's a healthy way to look at our challenge, because that's anti-Hollywood perception, anti-fairy tale script, okay? Nobody says here, and they lived happily ever after. At the end of the parasha, nothing is solved. We have so many parashot to go, Bezrat Hashem, for thousands of years, but we have this essential promise, okay, at the beginning of this process of going out there to the world. What's, I think we can split, you know, seize Yaakov's life, the two parts in his life, before the dream and after the dream. Just like you see commentators who divide like Yitzchak's life before the binding, the Akedah, and after the Akedah, I think we could really mark this point and say, there's Yaakov before he was dreaming and after he was dreaming. Look at what happens. The minute he wakes up and understands the holy message he just got, everything changes. When you have a vision, when you have a why, okay, you can do everything. And the Torah really proves it in two famous examples. Look at the first one, okay? So the dream influences power. Hachalom mashpia alakoach. It gives you strength. It changes the power, the game. The whole game is changed. Look at this. Yaakov wakes up. Vayisa Yaakov raglav vayelech arza bnei kedem. Yaakov lifted his feet. Once again, nobody here like lifts his feet. Vayisa raglav. It's a weird expression. Don't say it in Hebrew today. You should say walk. Halach. Yaakov just walked. No. He didn't just walk. Vayisa raglav. Rashi helps us out here. Kevan shenitbaser besora tova. As soon as he was given the good news, you heard the good news, you had this dream, this vision, his heart lifted up his feet and he walked swiftly. His heart lifted up his feet. Nasa libo et raglav. You know, sometimes when you have something so happy or so meaningful, so overwhelming, you're full of, I don't know, you have this thing within you, your heart just lifts, it carries your feet. It's not your feet walking, it's your heart jumping, walking. My husband once said that he felt it once a few years ago when our daughter Yehudit, the fifth girl we have, Baruch Hashem, was born. So it was on Shabbat. It was on Shabbat in Shari Tzedek, the great medical center in Yerushalayim. All of our kids were born there. The ninth floor of Shari Tzedek. Now I miss it. It's a holy, holy place in Yerushalayim, really. One of the holiest. People do not go there. It's not like the Kotel, but it's such a special place. So Yehudit was born there on Shabbat. Really, we were driving to... It was almost Shabbat when we were driving there. And then we were there like for 2-3 hours. My husband, we even like... Make Kiddush, they have this place there for the couples who are like waiting. And Baruch Hashem, she was born like, I think it was a 9 or 10. And my husband, Yedidia, walked home. We live in the entrance to Yerushalayim. There's a neighborhood called Mishkenot HaUma. That's where we live. So he walked from Shaar HaTzedek to Mishkenot HaUma. It's like less than an hour, maybe 50 minutes. But he told me, I wasn't walking. Vayisa Yaakov raglav. His heart, you know, lifted up his feet when he was walking. Because think about it, it's Shabbat, nobody knows, and he walks back home in order to wake up the kids and tell them you have a new sister. Now think about it, when you have a vision, when you have something beautiful you want to share with the whole world, it's a different way, you walk in a different way. So Yaakov really gets a lot of strength out of this event, this scene there. And look at the first example, how we see it really changes him. he stands there talking to the shepherds. Rachel comes with the sheep, and he saw her. The minute he sees her, he goes there. Vayagel et ha'even me'al pi ha'be'er. Yaakov rolled the rock of the mouth of the well. And Rashi describes it, it was like taking pkak me'al ha'bakbuk, like extracting a cork from a bottle. Like you take your Coca-Cola here, what do you buy in the cafeteria, you know? Like that, that's it, very simple. Huge stone, huge well, he was just, you know, rolling. How do you do it? Because the minute you have a vision, you have a reason for everything, it's much easier. Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, one of the legendary teachers, leaders of the Mir Yeshiva, comments, he says, when we say, we just said it, but Filot Geshem, okay, when we daven for the rain, we say, it's a beautiful piyut, we say, Yichad Lev Vegal Even Mipi Ve'er Maim. Once again, very hard Hebrew, okay? Yichad Lev, with a steadfast heart, his heart was like united, Yichad. Yichad Lev, he rolled away the stone from the well of water, and then it rhymes. Yichad Lev Vegal Even Mipi Ve'er Maim Ba'avuro Al Timna Maim. Because of him, bring us, give us water, okay? That's how we continue, okay? It's part of a long piyut, long song we say, okay? Do not hold back water because of, okay, for the sake, bizchuto, for the sake of Yaakov Avinu. It's not because of Yaakov, it's because of his heart. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz looks at this piyut, looks at the parasha, and explains that something special happened here, and he really insists, you know, he writes it in a few places, he writes, it's not a miracle, zelones. He does not want us to read it and say, oh, it's a miracle. Yaakov was pushing the stone. No. It wasn't a miracle. It was the natural thing that happens when your heart has, I would say, feels there's something with a meaning going on here. He says, Hakochot ha-tiviim sheba'adam, the natural forces in a human being depend on spiritual forces, and the natural forces draw their vitality from the spiritual ones, okay? The real forces we have are spiritual. When a person acts with all the forces of his soul, he has the power to far exceed regular human strength. And in the merit of the united heart, the Yichad Lev Shel Yaakov, who united all of his spiritual forces to perform acts of kindness, we request, do not hold back water. Okay, because we remind Hashem every year this special moment, okay, that wasn't a miracle, okay? The nature has not changed. Yaakov was changed, and he had the ability, the capacity to do it. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz gives another example. Remember the head of Batya, the daughter of Paro? The head was like she was stretching her head at hand. It wasn't a miracle. She, in order to save Moshe, the baby Moshe from the Nile, okay, she was pulling him out. It wasn't a miracle. Once again, it was the heart, okay? The heart gives you the strength to do many things. And I think we see here the two sources that really influences us, Hashem and our wife or husband, our partner. Think about it. Hashem like pushes Yaakov forward, and Rachel also pushes him forward. These are the two elements I think who influences us the most, from above and from here with us. Basically, I think I don't like the way sometimes we compare things that we're not supposed to compare. I don't want to compare now David Ben-Gurion to Yaakov Avinu. No, there are a lot of differences. But still, I think we can see this beautiful example that was published this week and understand once again how a dream gives you strength to do so many things. So this Friday, it was Kaftet Ben-November, that what is Kaftet? Number 29, right? Kaftet in Hebrew. So it was the 29th day of November, November 29th. And that's the day the UN, when I say UN, I should point at the place. I think it's there, right? So the UN declared we have the right to establish a Jewish state in Eretz Israel. People were celebrating, dancing in the streets of Israel back then. And Ben-Gurion, it's very interesting, our first prime minister, was sitting People were out there dancing, celebrating, so happy. He was sitting, this note was published, I think, a few years ago. I find it fascinating. Look at the date up there, Tetzain Kislev, November 29. And he was writing, he says, Nafla ha'cha'a, okay? There's a decision. And he was writing a list of the most urgent things to do. Now, you know what is a to-do list, you know, when you make it to yourself, like, I should do this shopping, laundry, buy this for my kid, do this for the boss, for my husband, to me, my mother. I have a to-do list all the time. I have a to-do list to myself. I write all the time. So that's Ben-Gurion's to-do list. Look at the list. When you have a big vision, okay, there are almost no limits. Look at what he writes there. One, government. The new country should have a government. Two, name. Capital city. Budget. Police. Army. constitution, ports, airports, money, coins, anthem, everything. It's a to-do list to a new state. Think about it. Once again, when you have a vision, I just saw it last Friday. When you have a vision, it gives you a lot of strength to do things that are almost impossible. Baruch Hashem, we live in this country today. And so first of all, as we said, this dream pushes Yaakov forward physically. But it's not only, it changes not only the way he sees physical challenges, it also changes the way he sees time. It influences the way he grasps, meaning he understands the concept of time. And this is a very famous, beautiful pasuk, considered, you know, a very romantic pasuk. Va'yavod Yaakov b'rachel sheva shanim, v'yihyu v'enav, ki yamim achadim, באהבתו אותה. A beautiful expression in Hebrew. כימים אחדים. Yaakov worked for Rachel 7 years, but they appeared to him like a few days because of his love for her. It's interesting. Rashi writes nothing. When you look at Rashi, he doesn't write anything about this pasuk, which is quite hard. I think it raises, Rashi usually answers like hard questions that he sees in the pasuk. Rashi writes nothing. But many commentators explain that basically, the question is, how do you see time? And they compare it. I saw in a few midrashim, Chazal, our sages, they compare it to a different period in our history and to a different expression. How do you see time? V'yehi b'yamim harabim ahem v'yamat melech Mitzrayim. Back then, in these so many days, yamim rabim, the king of Egypt died. It's in the book of Shemot, of course, when they talk about the redemption from Egypt. So let's compare these two phrases. Here we say, Yamim Achadim, he worked for 7 years, but it was like Yamim Achadim for him, few days, just a few days. And there, when it's when it's in Egypt, it's Yamim Rabim. Yamim Achadim, Yamim Rabim. A few days, many days. And our sages say, the time spent in Egypt called many days, but the time spent in happiness, when Yaakov was waiting with anticipation, is called a few days. Because of this difference, how do you see time? Our emotional condition influences our perception of time, okay? A time of, you know, when things are awful, time passes slowly, and when there's love, when there's hope, when there's, once again, a vision, you see it at time just flies. My kids, they were waiting for the snow for 3 months, okay? It's, wow, time flies, really. We just arrived here 3 months ago every day. Mommy, like, you know what's in Hebrew, nudnikim. They were very menadneh, they were nagging. Mommy, it says, no, and they really got like nervous because they heard it doesn't, there's some years here when it doesn't snow. Maybe they'll move to Montreal, I don't know, because here, I mean, they were so frustrated. Maybe we'll be here for a year of shlichut and there will be no snow. What will we do? So, you know, they're like, they're waiting for this big thing to happen. So you can't compare it to Rachel and Yaakov. But still, the way you see time is different. I'll give you an example. You, the Americans, usually many, many teenagers I meet, they go on a gap year. This gap year, it's a phrase I learned here. This year after you finish high school, before you go to college, sometimes it's like part of your what you do in college, you go to a year in Israel. The way you see it, this year in Israel, it's different. Why? Because it's a whole year in Israel. I spent, Baruch Hashem, 38 years in Israel. I'm 38. I never looked at it and said, wow, I have a year in Israel, another year in Israel. And then I saw this ad. I think it made me, I do not go on any gap year. I'm an Israeli and I'm too old for that. But I looked at this ad and I said to myself, whoa, they understood something deep here. Look at this campaign. I mean, there are so many programs, so many midrashot, so many places. They try to draw our attention. So look at this slogan. You have 625,600 minutes in Israel. How will you spend them? Take 10 minutes now to learn about Amudim. Okay, I'm not advertising. I mean, I don't want to talk specifically about this program. There are so many programs, I don't know. But anyway, it's really nice the way they give you this, you know, they make you understand you have 500,000 minutes in Israel. I never thought about it, you know. I also have 500,000 minutes in Israel every year. What will I do? Or maybe I should say, I have 500,000 minutes here in New York. What will I do? Macy's, I don't know. I don't have the time for all the things I should do. It's a new way to look at a year. Never thought about it. I think it's a beautiful example. So the dream, once again, gives Yaakov this strength, but it's not enough. That's the positive things. Now let's look at the negative, this dangerous things he faces, okay? Sometimes you should pay attention to your situation and you should really see when you start, like, something changes within you. And it's really, like, gentle. It's not something physical. You should pay attention and see that you are still the same person who left Be'er Sheva, that you did not become someone who lives in Haran, that you still represent Be'er Sheva in the city of Haran, and you will not be someone who represents Haran in the city of Be'er Sheva when you'll come back. It's a difficult process. It's really hard not to be influenced. And Yaakov basically feels he should go back after a while. At first, he says he should go back because Yosef was born, okay? Rachel, Vayika Asher Yalda Rachel et Yosef, okay, it came to pass when Rachel had was giving birth to Yosef, that Yaakov said to Lavan, send me away, and I will go to my place and to my land. I want to go back. That's not the right place to raise kids. This culture of, really, we know how corrupted this family was. In other words, we know it's hard to raise children in sometimes in this environment, but it's not only Rachel, it's the future of Abraham's legacy. Okay, Yaakov is only the third generation. Nothing is certain, and he feels he should go back home. Then there's another verse we read, and it tells us, like, things about, I would say, behind the scenes of this decision to go back home, because I don't feel secure. I feel I'm changing, and that's not the right process for me. Look at this beautiful pasuk. Vayar Yaakov et pnei Lavan, vehine einenu imo kitmol shilshom. Yaakov was looking at Lavan's face. He saw Lavan's face, okay? He saw Lavan's manner toward him, but it was not as it had been yesterday and the day before. He saw the face of Lavan. The translation here, by the way, ruins the whole concept. Once every week I find an example of a translation, I really go to the best sites. I mean, official sites in English. I don't want to mention the names. It's so hard to translate the biblical Hebrew. What we see here in English, that's a mistake. I'm sorry to say it, but Yaakov writes Pnei Lavan. He saw the face of Lavan, not his Lavan's manner toward him. He saw Lavan's face, and he saw that it's not like yesterday, and it's not like the day before. What's the problem? What's the difference? Harav Avraham Kotler, not the famous Rav Kotler, other Rav, his family name was also Kotler, part of the big Kotler family. He writes, what happened to the face of Lavan? What do you mean, vayaret pnei Lavan? Nothing changed. Lavan was the same mean, awful, cruel guy. Okay, nothing changed. What changed was, Yaakov himself was changing. All these years, he looked at the face of Lavan as that of an evil person and kept his distance from him. There was no possibility of assimilation. However, daily contact with Lavan had its influence, and Yaakov began to get used to him. Suddenly, he looked at Lavan and noticed that he did not, he wasn't rejected as always. And Yaakov saw Lavan's face and was not disposed toward him as yesterday and the day before. That's a better translation. In other words, he has already begun to get used to being around this cheating liar. This contact does not bother him. And this fact, I mean, the fact it does not bother him, it what bothers him. It's the fact he's used to, hey, we hang out with Lavan. He's like, I don't see him as Tmol Shilshom. Now he becomes like part of the family. I don't feel what I felt at the beginning when I came here. I'm not rejected. Yaakov Avinu teaches us to try and pay attention to such moments of truth in our lives. When we feel too good, it means something bad is going on here. Okay, we're not supposed to be here. Something is you know, we're getting used to things. I have so many examples. I have so many Israeli friends. They moved here for a year. It became 50 years till the grandchild will finish college. You know, no, we just we're. That's maybe why I bought this watch. My husband bought me this watch. You can also see it. You know what it is? We have two times here, Tel Aviv and New York, so that I will not forget. He just bought me on Amazon Prime, $12. That's all. Very simple watch, but I go with it this year because I can't. I feel like that's so for me. My heart, you know, beats maybe twice. I don't know. So that's one example. Where is your heart? Where is your place? But there's so many other examples. I was walking with the kids. You know, ads that used to be for us. So I remember the first time they saw like Christian things here in the state, okay? They were shocked. I guess now after 3 months, they got used to it. They weren't as shocked as they were. So once again, I don't take the first plane to Israel. People should be aware to the fact sometimes you get used to certain things. I had a friend, she was so like, you know, full of like modesty, humble, gentle, polite girl. And she went to work in an office that wasn't so polite. Their environment was quite different. And she told me, I remember on the first day when I heard like their jokes, the way they curse, the way they talk, I was shocked. No, that's not my culture. A year ago, she says, oh, it bothers me less. No, I don't care. When they say these words, I'm not so sensitive anymore. We should pay attention to, you know, once again, see if we change and be, you know, control the process. See if it's not too dangerous. Yaakov feels that's the right moment to come back. Okay, how do you go back? You just go to to Rachel, you go to Leah, you go to the kids, and you tell them, okay, pack, we're going. No. Yaakov has a principle. He wants to be understood. He wants to be, I would say there's a phrase in the Hasidut movement, ba'ofen hamitkabel. We should act in a way that is accepted, in an appropriated, understood, accepted manner. Ba'ofen hamitkabel. As a Jew, although you have the holiest things going on there, you should act ba'ofen hamitkabel, okay? Yaakov, this awareness accompanies Yaakov wherever he goes. Look at this pasuk. He comes to the world for the first time. He meets this, you know, group of shepherds. Well, he has nothing to do with them. No, he speaks to them appropriately. Look at the way he talks to them. Vayomer lem Yaakov, achai me'ayin atem. My brothers, they're not your brothers. You're so different. You're Yaakov Avinu. No. I am polite. I have this, I have this kavod, dignity. When I see someone who's completely a stranger and so different from me, ani rotze liot muvan. I want to be understood. I want people to identify, to feel nice when I'm with them. Second example, Yaakov is so angry when Lavan is chasing them, so he meets them. Vayichar leYaakov, vayarev beLavan. Yeah, Yaakov was annoyed and he quarreled with Lavan. But then he comes down. The commentators explain he comes down and he said to Lavan. Suddenly, when he talks to him, in him he was really mad. But when he talks to Lavan, what is my transgression? I mean, he talks to him gently. Vayan Yaakov vayomer. He answers. He says. He changes the attitude toward Lavan. Although it's Lavan, the mean Lavan, we know what who Lavan is. When it's the Ro'im, when it's Lavan, I understand. I people should understand. I should explain. You know what I say should be understood. And the beautiful example we see, as I said, now he wants to go back home. Hashem comes to him. It's a prophecy, so simple and so short. Vayomer Hashem el Yaakov, Hashem said to Yaakov, return to the land of your fathers where you were born and I will be with you. Shuv el eretz avotecha, go. Ani ayeimach, I will be with you. So simple. Hashem just spoke to me. What do? Hashem spoke to me. I go. I tell everyone, come. Hashem, talk to me. Pack. We're going. Now, Yaakov Avinu does something so deep. He goes there. Just compare the verses, okay? That's Hashem's prophecy. He told Yaakov, you can come back. Now count the psukim. Count the verses. We have 9 different psukim here. Look at the long description. The Torah elaborates here. There's a reason for that. 9 psukim. Yaakov talks to Rachel Elea. He calls them and starts explaining, really, it's not just a message from God. Why are we going? Why did I come here? What happened during these 20 years? And he talks and he explains, and if they had any questions, maybe he answered them, and he said to them, why should we go now, and what Hashem told him. Now, many, many commentators discuss these verses because every word in the Torah is meaningful. So look at this beautiful explanation. I think we all, as Jews who have our beliefs, we should be understood. We should pay attention to the way we talk to other people and explain our ideology, our agenda. Okay, Yaakov, it takes time. It takes Yaakov has patience. He really understands. It's important to be understood. Look at what Harav Simcha Zissel Broide, okay, was the head of Yeshivat Hebron for 40 years. Look at this beautiful, beautiful explanation. When we look into the parasha, כשנתבונן בפרשה, נראה דבר מופלא. You know, something wonderful. Pele, mufla, wonder. Although, through prophecy, בנבואה, Yaakov was told to leave the house of Lavan and return to his father's house, okay? He has the ultimate promise. And despite the fact that Yaakov was holy in the eyes of Rachel and Leah, they knew who he was, and even more so, that he tells them they must leave now because Hashem told him in a prophecy to do so. Despite all this, Yaakov saw a need to explain in detail everything that happened with Lavan and how that led up to this moment. In other words, Yaakov heard a divine command and he can just move in a minute. No, we persuade, we explain, we talk in any area in our life. I think as Orthodox Jews today, it's so important, you know, to be understood and to find a way to internalize your messages. There's 2 more short things Yaakov did there, and then we'll get to the part you really like. People told me they really like to learn a Hebrew song here, so we will learn a short song in Ivrit in a minute. But there are 2 more things, important things Yaakov does. Work ethics, I call it Musar Avoda in Hebrew. He works. Lavan was the worst boss ever. We had all the excuses, all the reasons to cheat him, to lie, not to be the best worker. Yaakov chooses to be the best worker because he does not work for Lavan. He works for Hashem, and he works for us. He teaches us to be the best workers, always, okay? Loyalty, devotion, truth. We learn it from him. For 20 years, he does not cheat. He does not lie. Rav Avigdor Nevenzel says here, from Yaakov Avinu, the world can learn what a work ethic is and how a worker is supposed to do his job. But from Lavan, the world can learn how not to be an employer and what employers should be forbidden from doing. When the Rambam writes part of his halachot, he quotes from this parasha. Yaakov was the ultimate worker. He's a role model to us, wants to be honest, loyal workers. And of course, the last element, the 8th element, and I see here in the States, it bothers you a lot. The last thing is the Torah, the basic, the foundation of everything. It does not say it in the Pshat. You don't read it in the Psukim, but in the Midrash, you know, in the oral law. Our sages, our rabbis talk highly about these 14 years Yaakov spent in the yeshiva. It was, when you calculate, when you see the numbers of the years, when he was running away, he had these 14 years in the Bet Midrash. He had 14 years of learning Torah. And the fact he was there absorbing our ancient, I would say, DNA, the Jewish genes, okay, heritage, Jewish values, ancient texts, the fact he was there influenced, gave him the strength to go through this whole journey in Haran. I saw this book in so many places in the States. It's called Ben Torah for Life, Ben Torah L'Chaim, by Rav Aaron Lupiansky. I had the privilege of even meeting him and getting a copy. And now I understand why is it a bestseller here. Because it's part of the challenge you're facing here. How can you be a Ben Torah for life? I think that's the book Yaakov writes for us in this parasha. How Ben Torah, when you're not so close to the Torah physically, you do not sit here at the YU Koilel. You're all over the place. You're everywhere with all kinds of people. And that's part of what Yaakov teaches us. It's the strength of the Torah. And I think there's a beautiful Hebrew song that wasn't written about the Torah. But I think when we read it, we can see, we can also say it talks about Yaakov's legacy, about these 14 years of Torah, and about the how the years you spend here gives you strength for the rest of your life. I see the students here. You sit here on the seventh floor of this Bet Midrash at of Stern College. And when you learn here, okay, I see you all day learning together in Chevruta, all by yourself, Jewish texts, all kinds of things. I think about it, in 20 years, you may not have a lot of time. In 5 years, you may not have a lot of time to sit like this, okay, as young mothers, Bezrat Hashem, and career woman, and you'll do everything. The year you spent, you know, so close, so focused, so concentrated on Torah, it really means a lot. It gives you a lot, you know, to the future. And I want to share this story of this Hebrew beautiful song written by Ariel Horowitz, the son of Naomi Shemer, the famous songwriter, musician. After Naomi Shemer passed away, Ariel Horowitz went to her house in Kibbutz Kineret, and he found a letter her mother, his grandmother, wrote to her. The grandmother's name was Rivka, and Naomi was 18, 19, when she went to the university in Yerushalayim to learn music professionally. She was always playing in the kibbutz for the kids, but then she decided she should really learn it seriously. So she went to Yerushalayim. She was really young. The year was 48, 49, and she was frustrated. It's hard, away from home, studying for years, academic lessons. She just wanted to play. Why should I listen to all this, you know, theory? She wrote a letter to her mother saying, "I want to go back to the kibbutz. I'm having hard times. I want to quit. I want to stop." Her mother wrote her a beautiful letter back. Now, nobody knew about this letter. Naomi, Baruch Hashem, kept on learning and became Naomi Shemer. And then she passed away, and Ariel, her son, comes into her house and finds this letter. And he writes this beautiful song based on the letter. The name of the song is Hamichtav Shel Rivka Nel Naomi, the letter that Rivka wrote to Naomi. It's beautiful. The names are the same names from the Bible, Rivka, Naomi. But look at these words in Hebrew. I'll translate and listen to the deepest message here. Okay, it's not Hamichtav Shel Rivka Lenomi. I think it's a letter to the Jewish world, to the Jewish nation. Yom ha'avodah nigmar v'yaradti la'kineret. A day of work ended and I went down to the Kineret, to the Sea of the Kineret. La'anot al michtavech yaldati haktana. To answer your letter, little girl of mine. Kashe lach sham achshav ba'ir ba'at lomedet. It's hard for you now in the city where you're learning. קשה כמו שתמיד קשה בכל התחלה. Hard like every beginning is hard. All the beginnings are hard. That's Rashi. כל ההתחלות קשות. רוח מתחילה לעלות וכבר סוער הים. A wind is coming up and the sea is already stormy. כמו שסוערת נפשך, שהיא נפש אומן. Just like your soul is stormy because it's an artist's soul. The sea symbolizes Naomi's soul, which is also stormy. ובלב הים פתאום אני רואה סירה. In the middle of the sea, suddenly, I see a boat. ועליה דייג אחד שנלחם בסערה. And in it, there's one fisherman who fights, who struggles with the storms, the waves. מה יעשה הדייג? מה הוא יכול לעשות כדי שהסירה תגיע אל החוף? What can the fisherman do? Okay, what can he do in order that the boat will reach the shore? יש רק דבר אחד שיעמוד בסערה. אם הוא יוסיף מטען לבטן הסירה. There's only one thing he can do, okay, to withstand the storm. If he adds cargo to the belly of the boat, he'll put more things, you know, on the boat. זו ילדתי התשובה, גם לסערת נפשך. This, my girl, is the answer to the storm in your soul. הלימודים שלך הם המטען על סיפונך. Your studies are the cargo on your deck. כאן פועלים עייפים, כבר צמאים לשיר שלך. Here the workers are tired, they're thirsty to hear your songs. אבל את עוד צריכה לחתור דרך כל הפוגות של בח. But you still need to row, need to learn all of Bach's, I would say, melodies. I think the message here is, you will be Naomi Shemer. You will influence the whole world. You have a lot of things to contribute. But you must focus. You must add more content, more cargo, more weight. Okay? It should be heavy to the deck, to the boat, to your soul. Okay? As we said, the boat symbolizes her soul. Don't worry. I mean, sit there and fool your soul with content, with serious learning. It's so, this base, the fundamental base, is so important. Naomi did it. Yaakov, Lehavdil, was sitting for 14 years in Beit HaMidrash. And we also, as Jews, should know that's the base to everything. You're not wasting a year. If you stay in Israel for one more year, I met so many young people, with these questions. Should I stay for Shana Bet? Of course you should stay for Shana Bet. Colleges in America will not be closed. It's okay. They will wait for you. You have so many years to be a doctor. Don't worry. A physician, pediatrics, accountant. No, don't worry. The second year in Israel, of course. 500,000 minutes in Israel. Of course, add more to the boat, to your soul. That's how I see it. I think that's the right way to understand Yaakov's legacy and the messages here. And at the end of the journey, let's move, let's jump. So many years, and many years forward. We learn so much from Yaakov, and we see how he struggles. It's not easy. It's not easy. The Torah is really open, straight, honest with us. It talks dugri. In Ivrit, you say dugri. Everything's open here. There are no perfect heroes, no superheroes, okay? We see all the challenges. But at the end of the journey, one of the last sentences Yaakov will say to his grandchildren, to Ephraim and Menashe, it will be in Egypt. Many years later, Yosef and the tribes, and he will go to Egypt. At the end of his life, one of the last sentences from him, it's like his will. He will see Ephraim and Menashe, and he will bless them, and he will say the famous pasuk we quote all the time, and he knows, once again, it's like the remedy, it's like the cure to our problems now, here today. Hamalach ha-goel oti mikol ra, the angel who redeems me from all harm, yevarech et ha-ne'arim, he blesses the youth, these kids, but also these kids, us. Vayikarev ahem shemi, and may they be called by my name, v'shem avotai, and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Yitzchak. וידגו לרוב בקרב הארץ. They should multiply abundantly like fish in the midst of the earth, upon the earth. What's going on here? There's a contradiction here. מה זה וידגו לרוב בקרב הארץ? How can you be a fish בקרב הארץ? You understand Hebrew? What is הארץ? Land, earth. Fish belong to the last time I checked. Fish should multiply abundantly like fish in the midst of the sea. What do you mean? Multiply ויתגו לרוב בקרב הארץ. השפת אמת, the holy שפת אמת, explains that's the beauty of Yaakov's message. Okay? We should be fish in the midst of the land. Yaakov knows we're doomed to take part of this long journey. Exile, challenges, external and internal threats. He knows we will never feel at home. It will take a long time till we will really feel we're at home. We should know we're fish on dry land. We should remember this conflict. The minute we forget, we will really drown. And the minute we remember it, we know, okay, so we have this awareness. We know what's going on. Then we can really continue his legacy. So when he tells Ephraim and Menashe, but we tell it to our kids all the time. We sing it. I mean, it's one of the most popular psukim. When we sing that the angel should bless us and lead us and be with us, it's because we know we are fish and unfortunately still fish in dry land. And the key for success is to remember this conflict. That's the key to continue Yaakov's journey, to continue our journey, Be'ezrat Hashem, and be successful. Thank you very much. Thank you all the commentators. Thank you, Yaakov Avinu, for the inspiring journey to all of us today. Thank you very much, and see you, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week here, Tuesday night. Toda Rabba. And maybe we have a lot of snow. Toda, thank you very much. Toda. Toda Rabba. I'll ask Uri to leave this slide for a few seconds. People asked me, people who are watching us also asked me, how can they get the messages and know about the lectures? This Shabbat, Bezrat Hashem, I'm in Florida. So, yeah, Florida, yeah. So you're invited. Anyway, all the information, the way to Florida is quite huge. The information is there. Just text your name to these numbers, the Israeli number or the American number, and you'll get all the information. Thank you very much, and Shabbat Shalom already. Toda.